And back to Romans chapter 12, as we've been using that for our jumping off, our springboard, so to speak. Romans 12, 4 through 6a. We're looking at the gift of leadership, talking about the dangers tonight. So Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 4. Says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we again want to thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace towards us. We want to thank you for this day. Every day we know is a gift from you, and we thank you for that. I pray, Father, that you would give us opportunities to share the love of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, that they too could have the joy of salvation that we have. Father, we're looking forward to tonight, and as we look at this role of leadership, this gift of leadership, and how the dangers that are involved with that, we just pray, Father, that you would just enlighten us to the truths of your word, and we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight. And will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been through 2 weeks already of the gift of leadership, and so I'm not going to go over all of the stuff that we've already done, but there are dangers. Danger. The fact that their delegation is often misunderstood as a lack of concern. You delegate stuff to other people, they think you're no longer concerned with what's going on, and that's not the case. When people are in a leadership position and they delegate, it's because they need help, right? You can't do it all alone. You find that out pretty easy, is you can't do it all alone. It's extremely important for leaders to delegate, otherwise you get burned out, right? You can only do so much. There's only so many hours in a day. Have you ever noticed that? And we always say, man, how did this week go by so fast? There was still 24 hours in a day. There was still 7 days in the week. But it seems like it's gone awful quick, doesn't it? And the older you get, doesn't it seem the faster it goes? See, all I remember is being young and thinking about, man, is this school year ever going to end? It's like this school year is going to go on for 12 years and then it will finally end, right? And now you go through a year, and here we are in November, and it seems like we just had January. What happened? Where did it all go? And I remember the first time I spoke with Brother Daniel and Miss Holly. They were getting married. They wanted to have the wedding here and all, and I thought, you guys got all kinds of time. You got plenty of time to plan this all, and everything's going to come. And the next thing I knew, it was like, it's next week. It's like, where did this time go? But we all have the same amount of time. It just seems like as we get older, it just goes faster. So Nehemiah not only had to repair the broken down walls all around Jerusalem, but also 12 gates. And so he assigned a leader delegated to oversee the work on each of the 12 gates. Followers, people that follow. Just because a leader delegates does not mean that he is unconcerned. It's not like he's just checked out, right? He still wants you to, or he or she, there could be leaders that are female, but if you want people to be engaged, you got to get them involved, and then you have to let them know you're still concerned. You still care. You still want to be a part of what's going on. Keep me updated, right? As a leader, you want to be updated of the progress that's going on. Leaders need to show concern. Make every attempt to be involved as well. Be a servant leader, right? I had a problem when I was in management. I would work alongside the people to make sure that they were getting it and what needed to be done and all. And one day my boss came out and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm working with them to make sure they're getting it so that I can, at one point, step back and get other stuff done so they can continue. No, you show them once and leave. Is that a good leader? I mean, what happens if they fail? Whose fault is it? If you're training somebody and they fail, whose fault is it? It could be the leaders, because they're not spending the time they need to. Now, is that 100% true? No, because sometimes people just fail because they're just not good at it. But we need to take the time and show them. Then there's a pastor at risk. You can only do so much. You have to delegate. You have to learn to say no. Limit counseling to an hour. This is a problem that I have, because when somebody wants to spend time in counseling, I spend as much time as they want. I just don't think it's good to shut that down. When people want to go through studies in the Word of God, and I've got a couple doing that right now, I don't try to limit that to a specific amount of time, because I want to go until we're done with the study. And if they have questions, I don't want to say, I'm sorry, you'll have to save those till next time because your time is up, right? So it's really hard to do that when you feel like you need to be there and help them through the process and not seem not to care because, I'm sorry, I'd almost feel like I was going to a shrink or something, right? This is how much time you get, and when you're done, you're done. Well, what if you're in the middle of something? Remember it for next week, right? So I have a hard time with that, so limiting counseling to an hour seems not so good to me sometimes. And then it's recommended that you train somebody to take over. So apparently, I guess, at the end of an hour, somebody else steps in and takes over where you're at. Well, how do they know where you ended? How do they know where you're at? How do they know what's gone on the first hour and stuff? But we do need to, people who are in leadership need to be able to delegate, and they need to be able to just let go. Inevitably, no matter what you do, somebody will see delegation as the fact that the leader does not care. It's just inevitable. It's going to happen. We can do all we can to show that we care. But we're going to have to reach a point where we say, you know, we just got to show we need to care in a different way. One of the things I thought of as I was going through this is I care enough not allow myself to get burned out, right? Because at some point you will. You'll overdo it, you'll get burned out, and then you won't want to go on. You'll just throw in the towel, and or you'll get so burned out your health goes downhill. Or I've seen people who've been in the ministry who have lost their family because they've devoted all their time to the ministry and nothing to their family. And so you got to care enough not to jeopardize the other areas of your life. I could save a marriage, but if I lose my own, I have to leave the ministry. So that doesn't make sense, right? If I work so hard trying to please everyone that I burn out, I've pleased everyone for a few months and blown what? I could have 20 years left. Right? I don't know that for sure, but I could have 20 years left. That'd put me at 81. It's not unheard of. My grandfather lived to 83, so I could have 20 years left. It is a necessity for a good leader to delegate, and followers must understand that. Fact is, I have this issue with OCD. I'm like a pulse. I'm just obsessed. I know how I want things done. And I have to learn to say, they don't have to do it how I did it as long as it gets done, right? It's pretty easy. As long as the job gets done, what does it matter how it got done? We can do a couple things well, or we can try to do everything poorly, right? You know, there's some people that are just really good at stuff. You know, since Brother Al's here and it won't be talking about his behind his back, Brother Al's good at doing a lot of things, right? So we needed wiring done out front, and he got that done for us. We've had plumbing issues in the kitchen. Brother Fred's good at plumbing, so he put the dishwasher in and has done some plumbing around here, right? those things, it's good to have people that can do stuff. I can't do everything. I touch plumbing and I get more leaks. Just the way it is. Well, I must take that back. When we capped off the drinking fountain in the basement, I did go get the caps and put those on, and nothing leaked while I did that. I was so thrilled that I actually touched a plumbing thing and it didn't leak worse. So, you know, you just got to delegate to people who can do these things and not micromanage them, right? I didn't tell you guys how to do those things. I don't know what I'm doing with those. I just let you do it and move on. And I was thankful that it got done. It's better to train 10 people than to do the work of 10 people, right? It's just the way it works. I could spend a few minutes on a project and do a poor job of it, or I could delegate it to someone who can invest the time and do it right. So the successful pastor surrounds himself with people who can do the job better than he can. And then for leaders, perception is reality. You don't want to be perceived as unconcerned. Followers need to be challenged to be understanding, but what happens when they're not? What can you do to help avoid the danger of seeming to be unconcerned? Maybe a simple phone call, an email, or even a card. Pastor cannot be everywhere. You just can't. I've tried to be in more than one place at a time, and it hasn't worked yet, so you just can't. I am concerned. I am there in spirit, and I do care. Spend a lot of time praying for everybody in the church. I think we need to do that, and so we do that. A willingness to endure criticism may appear as callousness. Leaders have to be thick-skinned. They are not deterred by criticism, and oftentimes it looks like they are callous or hard-hearted. It's not. I've said many times, you cannot be thin-skinned. And I don't care if it's a leader or a follower. You can't be thin-skinned. Everything's going to get to you. It's going to get under your skin, and you're never going to get over it. And so you have to get to the point where you got to have a thick skin and let it just roll off and move on. Leaders cannot have the luxury of wallowing in self-pity every time they are criticized. People say, Pastor, don't you care what others think? Don't you care how the church is perceived? Don't you feel abused or misunderstood? The answer is yes to all of the above, but most important it is that I am right with God. That's the bottom line. Even if what we do here is not always popular, I need to be right with God. It is in God's hands. He is our defender, right? He's the one that takes care of it. He's the one. So as I've said last week, I actually live for an audience of one, right? My job is to please God and then to do what he's equipped me to do, to equip the saints and do what he's called me to. We need to look how Nehemiah responded when criticized. Look at Nehemiah 6:3. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3 says, And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? He says, you can criticize all you want, but he's not going to give up on the work that he's been called to. On visitation, you can argue on a doorstep with someone who only wants to win you, or you can do what Jesus did and go to those who want the help and need it. I don't argue with people when I'm on the front porch with them. If they're not interested, move on to the next one, right? It doesn't do any good to argue with people. Then some criticisms hit closer to home, when it is not a stranger, but a brother or a sister. But strong leadership is not chopped down by the dullest blades that come against it. On the other hand, strong leadership learns its weaknesses, liabilities, potential dangers, likely misperceptions, and does all it can to avoid them. Leaders need to delegate, but they need to show they're concerned and endure criticism with thick skin, but let everyone see the soft heart underneath. Try not to appear calloused. Danger of becoming prideful. Leadership can easily breed pride on the platform when church is growing and during good times, right? What happened? For goodness sake, I just lost his name. He was so prideful. He said, look what I've done. Built the kingdom and everything, and God made him go out and eat grass. For crying out loud. What was that? Nebuchadnezzar. Yes. I'm like, where did that go? Up in the black hole somewhere, I guess. Anyway, so yes, you can be lifted up in pride. It can happen very easily, and you can think you're doing all this, but it's not you, it's God. Satan wants to take out men of God, and he has taken out a lot of us by convincing us to take the credit. There's no limit to what God can do here if it does not matter who gets the credit. If God gets all the glory, God gets all the honor, God gets all the praise, what's it matter? We don't need to get the glory. We don't need to get the credit. If we give man the glory, put him on a pedestal, we set him up for a fall, and so many have fallen. More people have been destroyed by success than by failure. It takes a special person to be able to handle success, authority, and here's why. Leaders, remember that God who promoted you can bring you down. I said that for years. I remember being at a church and people said, well, his attitude and all, he needs to go. And I said, if he needs to go, God will take care of it. Right? Bottom line is, if God put him there, God can remove him. And by the way, even if God didn't put him there, God could remove him. But so I don't know why people think they have to be the one to do all of the get the group on their side and try and oust the leader, right? Because if God put him there, God could take him out. Remember that Nebuchadnezzar was taking credit for all he had done. There's exactly what I was trying to remember. As I said, he lifted up in pride and said, look at all this that I've done. But those that are lifted up in pride, God is able to abase. Danger of trying to lead from a shaky platform. Here are some shaky platforms of leadership that will ultimately give out. Personal charm. Great personality, people follow them because of magnetism they have. So compelling, but no character. Walk does not match the talk. Do not practice what they preach. Eventually, people see through it. Motivational, challenging, but they do not live it because there is nothing underneath it all. If you're going to preach it, you better be living it. Popularity. Spends all his time trying to keep the majority on his side. Keep people happy. Do not offend anyone. Stroke egos. Avoid controversial subjects. Those leaders end up offending their best people. And you can't be, as I said, if you're in this to please one and only one, and that's God, it doesn't matter if other people are pleased or not. If God's pleased, that's what matters. Programs. Leader tries to keep everybody busy so they don't have time to gossip and gripe. Maybe that's why there's a lot of churches out there that have lots and lots of programs. You keep everybody busy. You keep them so they don't have time to do anything because idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? And so God's people have to be out of breath all the time because then you don't have any time to be gossiping, right? And then platform of causes. Let's fight the latest political cause. Can be good with certain bounds, but overindulgence can lead to the causes being a substitute for genuine spirituality. I know there's a lot of people that are involved in all these. Every time there's a march against something, they're out there. They're involved in so many things that they're just this cause after that cause after the other cause. And I remember several times people ask, well, how many programs do you guys have? One. preaching and teaching the Word of God, right? We have a program. That's what we're supposed to do. And then self-promotion, not promoting self, but promoting God. Credentials, earns his degree and thinks you should automatically follow him. I tell you, a degree might get you in the door, but once you're in, it's just a decoration on the wall, right? I remember talking to a guy the other day about doctors and all. And he said, the first thing I do when I see a new doctor is I look at his credentials on the board, on the wall, because they all have all their, you know, stuff up there. And he said, the first thing I ask is, where did you graduate in your class? If there's a class of 200, you don't want the one that's 200, right? You want one that was a little higher up in the class. And so he said, I always ask that. It always irritates them, but I want to know. Where did you graduate in your class? I want to know, am I dealing with somebody who learned a lot, or am I dealing with somebody who barely scraped through? What do I have? And then assumed authority. Dictator comes in and lets everyone know. They spell pastor with a capital, right? I remember when I became pastor, people asked me, what are we supposed to call you? I don't know. What are you supposed to call me? And they said, well, we need to know. Do we call you pastor? Do we call you Pastor Glenn? Do we call you Pastor Kerry? Do we call you... Don't call me late for supper, right? But it... I didn't care about that so much. You have to park right here. I said, I don't need to park anywhere special. I'm just like everybody else. And I get the position does need to be respected. I get that. But we have to be careful we don't get to the point where we want everybody to lord over us instead of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Survey employees. What do you want from your boss? Multiple choice answers to choose from. Better pay, benefits, vacation time. And the number one answer, more respect. More respect. Now, we all would have thought more pay, right? In a day and age where they're paying exorbitant amounts of money to flip burgers, right? So, the only platform to lead from that is stable, not shaky, is respect. We need to respect people. 1 Timothy 4:12, and we're almost done, so we're going to finish this. 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Respect does not have to do with age. It doesn't. I was watching a 911 show the other day, and the guy has been in the business in this location for a year, and he was promoted to supervisor, and he has people under him that have been there 28, 30 years, and they have to respect his position of authority. And they think it's funny because he's like 25, 26 years old or something, and he's the supervisor, and they've got people there that are 50 years old that have to report to him, and they've had, you know, 25 years of experience and stuff, but they still have to respect the position of authority. If people respect you, they will follow your leadership even if they don't like you, even when you rub them the wrong way, and even when they do not agree with you. Leaders, what platform are you leading from? Do not do anything to undermine respect. Be an example. Poor attendance by a leader undermines respect. So does bad attitude, half-hearted devotion, procrastination, and tardiness. I was talking to my daughter in the church, the last church they were at, she said, our pastor's gone more than he's there. I said, really? She said, oh yeah. He takes 4 to 6 weeks at a time off, and he's gone, and then he comes back, and he's here for a few weeks, and then he's gone again, and then I said, that to me is, like, weird. Leadership is one of the spiritual gifts, no more important or less important than any other, but we are all leaders at some level. So we need to understand that all of the gifts are important. There's none that are more important than any other. All right, we'll get on to prayer requests.